God is good, and He's good all the time. I thank God for all that He's doing. I thank God for all that He's going to do. And amen, it's time for you to get excited about what God is going to do in your life. It's time to give Him thanks for what He's already done. And it's time that you get to know Him, that He's got a lot more for you. So just be happy when the devil tries to get you down in the dumps. You tell that devil right where to go. And we all know where that is. Amen. Amen. I just right now in Jesus' name, God, I hand this service right over to You. God, everything that You want to say through me, God, I'm Your vessel right now. God, I hand it over to You. Lord, in Jesus' name, I bind up that spirit of religion. In Jesus' name, God, I thank You, Lord, that people walk away, God, and they're changed forever. God, I thank You, Lord. I bind up that spirit of addiction that wants to come up in Your people. God, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I loose the healing power. If you're in need of a healing, I want you to stand up. In Jesus' name. If there's somebody that you're praying for, they need a healing, I want you to stand up. The healing power of God is in this service right now. In Jesus' name. God, I thank You, Lord. God, You see every hand that's up, Father God. Lord, we are the sheep of Your pasture, God, and You said You had healing power. And God, I thank You, Lord. I just release that healing in Jesus' name, God, to just pour over us right now in Jesus' name. God, I thank You that You are making the people that came in here sad today. God, You're giving them peace and joy right now in Jesus' name. God, the people that are suffering with depression and anxiety, God, I speak a peace of mind to them. God, the peace that passes all understanding right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, God, we give You praise. God, we give You glory. God, I thank You for everything that You're doing. God, I thank You for everything that You're going to do. God, we're just going to take a moment right out of this service to love on You. Do you know how to love on Jesus Christ? Do you know how to lift your hands and just say, God, I love You. God, I give You my life. God, I choose You over and over again. God, I give it to You. God, the things that I've done that I'm not proud of, God, I give those to You. God, the things that I am proud of, God, I give You those things. God, I give You my life. See, it's not a one-time thing. It's an everyday thing. It's an everyday thing. Amen. You may be seated. You know, every service, people have to decide what they're going to allow the Lord to do. Every service, your pastors have to decide what kind of pastors that they're going to be. Every service, I have to choose. Am I going to walk under the spirit of irritation? Am I going to have a good attitude? Am I going to let the Lord do what He wants to do? Yes, I am. See, every day we got to wake up and we got to know who we are, because the devil is constantly trying to steal your identity. The devil is constantly trying to tell you that you're not good enough. The devil's constantly trying to tell you that you don't have enough. The devil's constantly trying to tell you that you're below. And for every person in here that the devil has messed with this week, I want to tell you right now that you are the apple of God's eye. I want to tell you that God loves you. I want to tell you that you are above and that you're not beneath. I want to tell you that wherever you have lack, you serve a God who will pour into wherever you come up short. Amen. He has the ability to bless you. He has the ability to shut every mouth of every critic that you have. And it's high time that we stop answering every critic. Do not answer your critics this coming year. That's one of the number one things that God is telling me about this year. Kelly, you stop feeling the need to answer your critics. Why? Because you spend too much time defending yourself. You do what I tell you to do. See, will you just let God do whatever He wants to do with you? Will you just say, God, that person's talking smack. But God, I'm going to back up. I'm going to let You handle them. Because, man, I'm straight up mafia. I'm going to drop kick some folks. That is not of God. But that's how it is. Now, if you can have a pastor that can just tell you, yeah, I want to drop kick some folks, it ain't none of y'all. If it was, I wouldn't tell you. Look here, I fake most of the things in my life. You don't think I'm a good faker? I'm the best one you'll ever meet. If it was you, I wouldn't tell you. But see here, truth is going to ring in this place. This place is going to sound truth. Why? Because truth sets people free. You know what I have to entertain the idea of? Is that I'm not preaching to perfect people. Thank God, that's too much pressure. I'm preaching to a bunch of folks that you may feel the urge to drop kick somebody, and hey, I'm going to tell you, don't do it. Why? Because God will handle every critic. God will handle every enemy. And you know what? You know how he's going to handle them? He's going to change your heart. See, your enemies have a lot to do with you. God will take your enemy. And he said, you know what? Whoever you bless, I'm going to bless. Whoever you curse, I'm going to curse. But with that, look here what he does, Stephanie. He takes your heart. See, if you're really saved and you're not just playing church, you know what the Christian heart has to do? It has to forgive. It has to have that place where you begin to have compassion on those folks that you say, man, that was my enemy. But God, look here, I don't like what that enemy of mine's going through. God, if they're being chastised because of me, God, if they're being corrected because of me, God, I plead the blood of Jesus over that person. God, I ask for you right now, don't make them pay if it's because of me. God, I thank you that you're forgiving them. God, I thank you that you're making me a bigger person and I can walk in forgiveness. Amen. It ain't just all about, see, a lot of people, they'll read the Bible. I've dealt with this my whole life. Look here, preacher's kids, we see it all, don't we, Casey? We see stuff. Look here, just the fact that Casey and I aren't awful people is a straight up miracle. She's better than me, I will tell you. I take after Dad. She takes after Mother. Okay? But look here. We've seen it all. But look here. I have seen God raise up people out of a coma that the doctors said that they had to die. I've seen people that by all indication were supposed to go to the pokey and they didn't because God decided that they were going to not do that. Amen. I've seen people that they was worried about their job. And God said, no, I'm just going to use that as an opportunity to elevate that person just a little bit. See, you got to hold on because he's not done. You know what that was? That was a step to make you grow your faith. The next time that you go through something, you're going to look back and you're going to say, God came through. He will come through again. Everything that we go through is getting us to where we're going. Everything, every trial, every tribulation, every mistake that we make. Look here, stop beating yourself up over that. Take it. Like my daddy used to say, take it like a man. Look here, you did that. You take that. You did it. You got to own that thing. And once you own it, step back. Because see, God wants you to, look here, all you got to do is admit that thing. Admit it. Quit it. Get it out of you. Get it out of you. What you've done does not define you. The things you're not proud of, they don't make up who you are. See, the devil's trying to get up in here into some folks and steal who you think that you are. If the devil can get you to thinking that you're something, then you'll be that something. Look here. God calls you the apple of his eye. God says, I created them in my image. See, he could create us any way he wanted to. There's a reason why he created us in his image, because that's how much he thought of us. Amen. Now, somebody asked me to minister off of Christmas. I love Christmas. How many of you love Christmas? Well, good. That means you love Christ. Praise the Lord. We wouldn't have Christmas if it was not for Jesus Christ. Jesus is the reason that we celebrate Christmas. Jesus, it is about Jesus. It is not about Santa Claus. But let me tell you something. Jesus loves Santa Claus. Okay? I'm not so religious where I think that Santa Claus is a bad thing. Santa Claus, Jesus loves him. Okay? So look here. lighten up on Santa. Let your kids have fun with Santa. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. You know what? Kids are looking for something to believe in. If you think Santa's going to make or break your kid, you better get a reality check. You are making and breaking your kid. Amen? We are making and breaking our children. So someone asked me to speak on the reason for Christmas. And you cannot talk about what Christmas is without talking about the fact that before the miracle occurred, see, it was a miracle that what happened with Jesus. See, God took Jesus and he planted him in his mother Mary, who was a virgin. He planted, the Holy Spirit planted Jesus up into Mary, okay? Right. Now, that's a miracle. And let me tell you something. Anything that's in the Bible, you can correlate it with average today reality. Before Jesus was ever brought to this earth, people began to hear about that miracle before it ever occurred. There are miracles that God wants to release to you in this coming year. But let me tell you something. We have lost sight of what God has told us that he would do. What has God told you he would do? Have you kind of lost it because it hadn't happened yet? Have you kind of lost hope because, oh, it don't look like it could happen? Look here. Way before Jesus was ever brought into this world, people began to hear about him. Don't lose sight of what God's told you he would do. It's going to surely come to pass. It's not a if it will. It's a, it is. It's a for sure thing. It's a for sure thing. So let's go to Luke chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 26. And it says, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. Joseph was a descendant of King David, who wrote the Psalms. When you hear all about David's struggles, and he had a lot of them, he was not a perfect man, but God used him. Did you just hear that? God didn't use somebody perfect. God used King David, and David had a lot of issues. Do you got a lot of issues up in here today? Do you got some flaws that you know you're flawed? But hey, you're going to just let Jesus step in. See? So he was a descendant of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. You who are highly favored. Now, the question I want to ask you today is, do you know that you're highly favored? Do you know that you're highly favored? Look here, in our worst moments, we have to believe and we have to know that we are highly favored folks. Highly favored. It does not matter what we've done. See, the devil will take what you've done and he will capitalize on that thing and he will bring about shame, despair, discouragement. Every bit of that is from Satan. God will take something that you flubbed up on and he will capitalize on it and he'll make it the very foundation in which you are who you are. He'll just build that in. Look here, we make wrong turns. We do things that we're not proud of. We say things that we shouldn't say. We act like we shouldn't act. And you know what? God factors those things in. He knows that he's not dealing with a perfect person. Man, I was up in the grocery store a few months ago, and I was going through some things. I'm not going to lie, Sister Dale. The devil got all over me, and somebody smarted off to me in the grocery store. And before I knew it, there that flesh was. The old Kelly came back. Something came over me, Aunt Sharon, and I just wanted to pop that person. I told y'all we straight up mafia. I don't know. I don't know what was wrong with me that day. I was pushing my buggy around, and just a sad moment came over me. I started thinking, look here, stop that thinking. Stop overanalyzing. Stop that. Don't overthink. Don't overthink about that thing. Let God have that. Man, I'm an overthinker and I'm an overanalyzer. I'll take something and I'll just dissect it till it is just not even what it started out being. I'll make it something it never even was. That's called talent. And OCD. Okay? But I was up in that grocery store and devil got all over me. Now, we were in a different town, and I did not have on my pastor's shirt. Praise the Lord. The cashier looks at me, don't do it. Because I know I had that crazy look. It's a look, and when I get it, it's very obvious. Man, I got that crazy twinkle in my eye that made me want to just lash out. My 15-year-old nephew just stepped right between me and that lady, and I had to get a hold of myself. The devil will capitalize on a bad day for you. The devil will get you in a sad moment. He'll get you in a moment where you're upset about something, and he will just make you act out and do stuff that you don't want to do. When I got in the car, I was thinking, what was that? I didn't even know. I'm really not a domestic violence person. I really don't go around hitting people. But man, I wanted to smack her. Now, why am I telling y'all this? Because I'm going to bet that on a bad day, y'all might want to smack somebody. Amen. I'm here to tell you, if Kelly Mae don't do it, y'all don't need to. Amen. All right? So, do you know that you're highly favored? You don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to. A lot of times we get wrapped up thinking that we are going to make something happen. You don't have to make nothing happen. What you have to do is back up and let God do it. It's not a matter of making it. It's a matter of letting it. That's two different things. We can make something happen all day long. And you know what we're going to get? It's going to be jacked up. And it ain't going to be right. You ever notice how when you made it happen, man, that thing's messed up. I mean, on the outside, it may look like what you thought. But, man, when you get into the intricacies of that thing, it is messed up. It is messed up. I watched a YouTube video one time, and I thought I knew how to take apart the sink. Because I heard that a woman that was real cute and pretty like me made a house watching YouTube. So I thought, I can do that. Anybody can watch a video. So I got that video up. I started taking apart that sink. Now that sink was expensive. I just started taking it apart. And then I took it all apart and I said, well, YouTube video, now what? See, they didn't tell what to do. That was in some other video I could not find. They were just telling us what to do to take it apart. Look here. $100-something later, come to find out, it didn't even need to be taken apart to fix that problem. That's how we handle life. You get what I'm saying? But if you will let it happen. I could have called that plumber. See, I had to pay him to fix the problem, and I had to pay him to fix my problem that I created. And most of the money was on my problem, putting that sink back together because it was in a lot of pieces. And I messed some of the pieces up just for diddling with them. You got to let some things happen. You got to trust God enough that when they start looking really bad, it's still a matter of let. There are times when you go through things and they start looking even worse and worse and worse. In those moments, what I'm going to tell you to do is still let it happen. See, we want to get in there and we want to get in there because we think that it's all coming up in a flame. See, what it is it's coming down to a head. Every trial that you're going to has a day of reckoning. See, the devil wants you to think that that is a permanent thing. And he gets your heart to telling you that it's permanent. Then he gets your mind to telling you that it's permanent. Look here, there ain't nothing permanent. Life is always changing. You always have to readjust. The problem problem is most people will not readjust to the change. Most people resist it, and then they suffer. Don't be somebody that has to always be suffering. God don't have suffering for you. God has blessing. Don't put yourself in a seat of where he's got to deal with that. Just be in a seat where, you know what, God, I'm going to let you do it. Mama Kay, I've been through things this past 2 years where they looked very bad. I've been through things that if testing me could have made me walk away from Jesus, I would have walked away from him. But let me tell you something. It did the very opposite. I love God more than I've ever loved him. Why? Because I've got to know him just a little bit more than I ever have. Why? Because the situation's got that bad where I just said, God, Holy Spirit, I don't know what you're trying to do here, but please don't make me learn this lesson any longer than I need to. Please make me more intelligent so I know right what you're trying to teach me in this lesson, because I want this to be over. See? Letting some things happen. And so he said, you know what? You're highly favored and the Lord is with you. Look here, God's with you. God's with you. The devil likes to isolate God's kids, so we'll fold. Don't let the devil isolate you. God's with you. So this angel was telling Mary, look here, the Lord is with you. And Mary was greatly troubled at his words, and she wondered what kind of greeting that this might be. But the angel said to her, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Look here. You know how many times that phrase is in the Bible? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Why? Because, man, God don't want you walking in a spirit of fear. He said, I ain't giving you a spirit of fear, but I have given you the spirit of power. I've given you the spirit of love, and I have definitely given you the spirit of a sound mind. A sound mind. Look here. You think the pastor's the only one that has a willy-nilly mind problem? Nope. Why am I preaching about it? Because we all go willy-nilly in our head. Amen? Amen. That's a problem with sinners and saints and everybody in between, that they don't know which one of them two they are. Everybody has a problem with their mind. But I'm going to tell you something. God's given you a peace of mind. You got to tap into that. Has God brought you this far to let you fail? No, he hasn't. Has God brought you this far to let you see God did that? See, true promotion comes from God. True deliverance comes from God. True mercy comes from God. True breakthrough comes from God. It ain't coming from nobody else, Sonia. It's coming from the living God. And when God said it's enough is enough, that's going to be the day enough is enough. See, God will put your family back together when your family, by no other indication, could have been put back together. Living proof, God's not done. God's not done. You know what this little girl did? She came to church 2 days after she had a kid. Look here, superwoman. Let me tell you what, a lot of things going on 2 days after you have a baby. I'm not going to go into graphic detail because I'm going to keep it PG. See, what are you going to give God? Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting that this might be. But the angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You need to learn how to find favor with God. Learn how to find favor with the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know how you find that favor? You stop doing it your way. You stop acting like you know more. Look here. Miss Dale, what I've learned is I don't even know a fourth of what I think I know. I don't believe half of what I even see. And that fake book that we all are addicted to, don't believe nothing that you see on it. Because it's all a bunch of you know what. It's retarded. Whatever you see on Facebook, look here. You see a nice, sweet couple, and they smiling. Case in point, me and Jeremy's family pictures, where we all look like we're happy and we're getting along. Look here, we just want to kill each other. Made a good picture. I gave that girl a lot of instruction. I said, look here. I do not want to pay $60 for a double chin, okay? Now, I got a double chin, and you're going to figure out how it's not going to be in the picture. And you're going to get me on my slenderest side, and I'm not sure which side that is, but you best figure it out. And see these little kids of mine that are terrors? You best figure them out. Because not even I can control them. And my husband, I want you to make him look big and macho. Jeremy looks big and macho all on his own. Y'all love Pastor Jeremy?
Yeah.
Amen. But see, stop looking at people and comparing yourself. Man, ain't nobody better than you. That's what you got to tell yourself, Brother Mike. Look here. That's what I have to tell myself. When I walk into a room, I went to my husband's Christmas party with a bunch of lawyers, all high-class people. Look here, Keisha. When I walked into there, I was sure of one thing. I was the prettiest girl there. There was people with their hair blonder. There was people skinnier. I don't know how they did that. I need to corner them and ask them. But see, you got to learn how to think some good things about yourself. See, a lot of how you handle life is how you feel about your own self. If you feel defeated, you're going to act defeated. And then people are going to treat you like you're defeated. You're calling your own shots. You just don't know it. You want people to treat you better? You train them how to treat you. Look here. When I walk into the room, I'm going to own the room. When I walk up into the room, God's coming in before me. When somebody says, lay your hands on me, I need a healing. Look here. God needs somebody that's lived it for the whole part of the week. You want God to move in your life? You be that person that you're supposed to be on every day besides Sunday and Wednesday. Because look here, that's a given. Be the church. Be God's kids. And so he's telling her, don't be afraid. And he says, you will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Look here, the kingdom of God is never ending. There are people trying to shut God out. You will never shut out God. You may think that you're going to shut out God, but you're not. You can take those Ten Commandments off of the courthouse. Look here, God is still living and active in this world that we're living in today. God's kingdom is never going to end. And we got to make sure that we're living right, because this is just like the appetizer of what's happening. Can you get up in here and raise those hands to Jesus? Because let me tell you something. When you walk into heaven, there's going to be years pass by where all you did was praise him. Can you praise God in the valley? Can you praise him on the mountaintop? His kingdom is never going to end. It doesn't matter how many times people try to shut him out of their life when they only call on his name when they're going through trouble. Look here. God is going to have the final say. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. And it's best if we do that here on earth. And she said, how will this be? How is that going to happen? Y'all guilty of that? I am. God said some things to me, and I thought, are you sure? I'm not sure I'm even capable of that, because I'm sure some of that's going to include me turning the other cheek and shutting my mouth. How's that going to happen? God's getting me prepared for somebody I don't like to come up into this church. And you know what? I'm going to act right. Amen. Why? Because he's getting me prepared for 2 years for that. Amen. I'm going to pass that test. Because I'm going to prove to the devil, I'm going to prove to Jesus, and I'm going to prove to myself that I'm a bigger person, that I'm a better person than I've ever been. Amen. See, the kingdom of God's never ending. The blessing of God is never ending. The miracles of God, they're never going to end. Amen? She said, how is this going to be? And the because there's always a technicality that's making us think that something that God told us that was going to happen, there's always a little technicality there that makes us think that it cannot happen. For her, she's going, okay, so I'm going to have a baby, but I've never been with a man. I'm a virgin, and here you're telling me I'm going to have a kid. Now, that's a technicality. See, you want to rationalize and analyze how God's going to do the thing that he told you he was going to do. God doesn't need a rationalization from you. God needs you to say, oh, well, Lord, you are God. You said you're going to do it. I'm going to go along with it. Why? Because you've never told me you was going to do something and fail it. That's why. See, does God have a great track record with you? Does he have a perfect track record with you? If you're honest, yes, he does. So when he tells you he's going to do something outlandish, you just get your popcorn and you just wait till the day he does it, because he's going to do it. Amen? And it says, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High God will overshadow you. Look here. You don't have to live in anybody's shadow. You're living in the shadow of God. That's it. The worst thing that you will ever do to yourself is compare yourself to anybody else. The worst thing for a pastor to do is to compare their church to another church. Look here. You've got people up in here. This church ain't never been more equipped. You got him. You got me. You got him. You got all of y'all. Look here. This church has never been more equipped. And let me tell you something. There's going to be a growth spurt. Why? Because God's told me it's going to happen. Look here. I'm just going off of the Holy Spirit. I will not compare this church to any other church. Why? Because God is going to do something up in here he ain't doing nowhere else. That's why. That's why. No. You don't have a politically correct pastor. You got somebody that loves God enough to get up in your face and sit in your lap if that's what you need. And I've done it. Now, Jeremy ain't going to sit in your lap because he has his personal space issues. But look here. I don't got personal space issues. I got two kids, and they are all up in my business all the time. And therefore, I will be up in your business. And I'll try to do it in a nice way. And if nice Kelly don't get it, the other Kelly's on the way. Why? Because I love y'all. And not just a little. I love y'all in a crazy type of way. Look here, you don't want to see crazy Kelly, because like I told you about the grocery store, I don't even know sometimes what's going to happen. I just pray to God it ain't going to land me in the pen, because that would look bad. And I try to limit my showing out in places that's not Paris, Arkansas. And that's getting harder to do, because even when I go out of town, people are going, are you that new blonde preacher? Uh-huh. That's me. That's me. And it says here, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High God will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Don't put a limitation on God. God don't need your limits. He needs your... Okay, Jesus, you're welcome up in here. See, you want God to come up in your life, and sometimes we ain't welcomed him up in there. God, you can do this, this, and this, but this over here, you leave it alone. God wants it all. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered, and may it be to me as you have said. Look here. God tells you he wants to do a miracle in your life. God tells you he wants to do something that you don't know how. What we got to say is, you know what? What you've said to me, may it be so. What you've said to me, God, you said it and I believe it. God, you said it and I'm not going to worry about how it's going to come to pass. God, you said it and I'm going to go with you, God. Look here. There's things that God wants to do, Keisha, that your family won't agree with. There's things that God wants to do with me. Look here. People ain't going to agree with everything that God wants to do with you. Why? Because, see, they small-minded. God's got a big thing. God is not a small-minded person. Man, God is very extravagant. He's very just top-notch. He's going to do it, but he's going to do it in a way you never thought. Never thought. Trust me. Never thought. I am the Lord's servant, and may it be to me as you have said. And at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Look here. When God is working on your miracle and people are seeing that thing is coming to pass, there's something inside of them that's going to leap. Look here. There's something inside that God wants to do out of your miracle. Look here. It may be tough. You may have gone through hell to get that miracle. But look here. Everybody goes through it. Everybody goes through it. Trials and tribulation, it falls on the just and it falls on the unjust. But look here. When people begin to hear what God is doing in your life, there's going to be something that leaps up inside of them. The Holy Spirit wants to get off on you and go into somebody else and make them think, oh my God, if they could do that, if God could do it inside of them, God, I know you can do it for me. It's not all about you. It's not all about what you got going on. It's about what God wants to do up inside of you to touch somebody else. Your miracle may cost you greatly. You may sacrifice, but let me tell you something. At the end of it, it's going to be worth it because people are going to see God inside of you. And when they see him, they're going to want him. The problem is Christians have made it very repulsive. You got something inside of you, you make somebody want it. I ain't going to talk like every other pastor. I'm not going to look like one. Look here. People aren't going to know what the heck's going on. When I come up in here on Easter, I got up there. I like to sit on the back. I like to see everybody's responses when I get up here and start in. There's a guy sitting over here and he... That's what I like. Look here. You come up in a parish Christian center, you're going to get something you did not expect. The Lord. The spirit of religion is not welcome in this place. This place ain't going to be something that, oh, they're going to sing three songs. We're going to shake the pastor's hand. Look here. That is not how life is. Does your life? We're going to go to work on Monday, Tuesday, blah, 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 blah. That ain't how life is. You know how life is? Monday morning, I've done got myself in a bad mood. Then I'm going to have to act right. Then work, my coworker, who I don't like, she opened her mouth again before 8 o'clock. Oh, my gosh. Look here, that's life. That's life. So when you come up in here, you're not going to get something that's just... Because see, that ain't how your life is. That ain't how your life is. Somebody's going to minister to you in this place exactly how life is. Life is messy. Uh-huh. Messy. God's the only one that can fix it. He's the only one that'll make a miracle out of your mess. God's made miracles out of my messes many times. He can do it. He can do it. And so in a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." You're going to be blessed just because you believed that what God said he would do, he will do it. That's a blessing all of its own. There's a blessing in just believing, and then there's the actual blessing. Two different things. Two different things. Why? Because people struggle with believing that God will do what he said he would do. That's why. Those are two different blessings right there. Let's go to John chapter 3. We're going to start in 16. You cannot preach about Christmas without bringing out the fact that God the Father was a giver. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave. That he gave. I'm going to talk about giving here for a minute, and I'm not talking about money, so y'all don't get crazy on me. I don't dance around money either, but look here. For God so loved us that he gave. He gave. We live in a world people don't like to give their time. They don't like to give nothing. They want to take, but they don't want to give. Will it take you that much longer to speak a kind word to somebody? No. See, God's love caused him to be a giver. What did he give? The only thing that could crack it. The most precious thing that he had. See, God wants you to give him the most precious thing that you have. What is it? Your life, your will. God's not somebody that's going to come up in there and make you do something. God wants people that love him so much they're going to do it because they love him.
Amen.
It says here, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. That's why you're not going to hear a bunch of condemning messages up in here, because it's not biblical. God didn't send his son for preachers all over the nation to condemn people when they walk up in the building. Why? Because they know they messed up. That's why. Nobody has to tell them because they know. Is that true or not? It's true. So you're not going to hear a bunch of condemnation up in here because we ain't going to have it. We're going to puff you up. We're going to pick you up, we're going to dust your little britches off, and we're going to be like, look here, child of God, you can do it. You got what it takes. You are above. You are not beneath. Stop training people to treat you bad. You start acting like you're God's highly favored kid.
Amen.
That's what it takes to go out here and save folks. That's what it takes to have your very best life, for you to think some good things about yourself. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe, they stand in a state of condemnation already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light, which is Jesus Christ, Keisha. See, Christmas is about the light that was inside of Jesus. He is the light. Christmas is about that light. It was about God giving his Son. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light. Because their deeds were evil. People love being in darkness for a season. For a season. And then they want to get out and they don't know how. That's where we come in. That's where we come in. God didn't send his son for you to get it right and just sit on your duff. Yep, I said it. God didn't come up into your life for you to get it right and then to just do nothing. He came up in here, got up into your life, fixed your problems for you to reach out, to love on somebody that can never pay you back, to help somebody, to give them a handout that they will sit there and wallow up in their mess until you do it. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth, see, God is truth. Jesus is truth. Whoever lives by truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly. Too much overthinking, overdoing. Look here, when it's a God thing, it's very plain. Clear, plain. That what he has done has been done through God. When God gets done, it's going to be very clear, very plain that he did it. That he did it. See, God wants to do some things in this next year for y'all you never thought he could do. You didn't know he wanted to do them, but he does. God wants you to catch a vision and keep it at the very forefront of every day that you had, the good ones, the bad ones, and the ugly ones. There's a lot of bad ones and there's a lot of ugly ones. That's the world that we live in. Now I'm going to have Brother Jeremy, Pastor Jeremy, come up here with me. At the end of this place is called a house of prayer. This place is the place you can go when you need somebody. Look at that sign. I bought that yesterday at Hobby Lobby. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am, right up in the middle of them. Look here, right up in the middle of this thing, right up in the middle of it, God is there. God is there when you've been told the very worst thing. God is there when everybody's turned their back on you. God is there when you've made your biggest mistakes. God is there when everything is going right. God is up in there. Look here, there's more than two or three. Look here, we're going to blink this year. There's going to be more and more. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has his way up in here. Now, Pastor Jeremy and I, we are at the front of this church. It is 10 till 12, may I point out. We have reserved the last 10 minutes of this service to serve you. To serve you. To be available to you. Why? Because you may need some prayer. You may need us to come into agreement with you on some things. We are at the front of this church. If you need prayer right now, I want you to get up out of your seat. Get up out of there believing that God is exactly who God said that he is. That he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And we're not going to rush it. You can make your way up here. And I've lost all desire to be nosy. What is my point? I don't even have to know what you up here for. If you feel like you need to tell us, then you can tell us. Some people feel that. Some people respect that authority and they feel like, I got to get this out because I, whatever. You don't have to tell us nothing. God already knows. God already knows. He knows the end of the thing before it ever got started. We're here to pray. We're here to pray for you. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, you know exactly why Jeremy is up here. God, I thank you that you've met every need. God, you've